Welcome everyone to the Interdisciplinary Colloquium. In this podcast series, we want to discuss how women's history and creativity are narrated today. We can now find more publications on women's history and literature, as well as exhibition events dedicated to women artists, for example. It is fair to say that there is a greater focus on women's history and creativity. So we want to ask how women's history and creativity are being narrated. Are curators, authors, editors developing new methodologies to narrate women's history and creativity? Are they making changes that allow a paradigm shift, something we can capitalize on in the future? I'm thrilled to start these conversations with Professor Silvia Salvatici, full professor at the University of Florence, a specialist in women's history, humanitarian aids, international history, also well known to the Italian TV audience for her contribution to the successful history programs Passato e Presente and Il Tempo e la Storia. I have invited her to talk about a recent volume on Italian women's history, which she has published with Carrocci. The book's title is Storia delle donne nell'Italia contemporanea, Women's History in Contemporary Italy. So welcome, Professor Salvatici.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be the guest, one of the guests, actually, in your podcast series. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for joining me. Professor Salvatici, you have dedicated much work to women's history throughout your whole career. You've published on gender and humanitarianism, gender and national identity. So my first question is then, why you decided to publish this collected volume now?
I want to be honest with you and with the people who will listen to this podcast. It was the publisher to suggest me to submit a project for an edited collection on women's history. So now we can change the question and we can ask ourselves why they asked me to submit a proposal. I think that Carrocci had clear in mind that the market was ready to receive this sort of books. Why? For several reasons, I believe. First, the history of women in the West that was edited by Georges Duby and Michel Perrault a long time ago, actually at the beginning of the 90s. And it was really a pillar in the development of women's history, but it's now old. I mean, it still remains a very important book, but now is not updated. Because in the meantime, and this is the second reason, the research expanded largely. And it covered new topics, developed new methodologies, explored different regions and areas. There is another issue that I think it played a role in making the publisher asking for an edited collection on women's history in Italy, that is related to the very recent events as the pandemic, the economic crisis, because all these events somehow highlighted once again that in our society, women and men do not enjoy equal opportunity. Let's just think about the gendered side effects of pandemic and for example, remote work that, you know, was much worse for women than for men because they had to take care of the family. All the family was at home and at the same time work remotely. So for many reasons, the time was ready for a new book and it was the publisher the first to think about it.
Well, we are glad you accepted Carrocci's invitation then. It's a very beautiful book. Each chapter of this volume offers what we can call a prismatic view on women's history. For example, let's take the chapter by Vinzia Fiorino on suffrage and citizenship. At one point, she discusses women and the masses, explaining the emergence of psychology. This discussion is perfectly pertinent to her argument about citizenship, and yet allows us to better understand various aspects of the country's history. All the contributors are historians. They apply an interdisciplinary approach. So they refer to different aspects of culture and history to produce an additional meaning of women's history. Can you talk about your ideas around this prismatic approach?
Many thanks for this question. I like the definition of prismatic approach. It's very adequate. Let's say that I think that somehow women's history is interdisciplinary by nature. As Gianna Pornata demonstrated a long, long time ago, if I'm not wrong, it was at the end of the 70s, thanks to a seminal essay with the title La storia delle donne, una questione di confine, women's history, an issue of border, the contamination between history and other social sciences was essential and still is essential for the emergence of women in the reconstruction of the past. So the approach to history exclusively as political and institutional history have for a long time excluded women from the narration of the past. So the prismatic approach was needed to bring women back in the narrative about the past, in the picture, I would say, of the past, without just simply adding them, but changing the account of the past in itself. Because as we all know, women's history doesn't aim to be another chapter in an already constructed talk about the past, but wants to change the way in which that account of the past is shaped. Because if you include an actor that was excluded for a long time, then you have to change your narrative. And that was very clear to us. It was not even necessary to stress it with the other authors, because it's somehow training that we need a prismatic approach to women's history. We need to take into account not only the literature, which is, let's say, strictly a historian or written by historians, but is also from anthropologists and sociologists. And you cannot escape it if you really want to tell what women's past was.
That's great. That's very clear. Absolutely fantastic. And then the other important element of the book is periodization. We do not have a chapter on women and fascism, another chapter on women during the time of unification, another chapter on World War II, but rather each chapter covers a longer period of time, normally 80 years or 100 years. Can you tell us a little bit more of the methodologies that you've chosen, why you've decided to go for this approach?
It wasn't an easy choice. It's more difficult to take a long-term approach. And it also somehow produces a sort of a surprise effect in those who are reading. I'll give you an example. We don't have one chapter on fascism, on the fascist period, which is quite unusual because you usually find it as a specific topic, women and fascism, quite well explored actually. But it's not that in the book you don't have fascism, but you have it seen from different topics which cover a long period of time. You know why we decided to adopt this approach? Because we wanted to revisit the traditional chronologies that we usually find in school books. And again, I give you an example because I think it's a good way to understand what our aims are. We usually assume that the foundation of the Italian Republic was a profound turning point, both in the history of Italy and also in the history of Italian women. And of course, it was an important turning point. Let's just think about the fact that women gained the political rights for the first time in 1946, so almost 30 years later than British women. If we look at social and civil rights, the big change was not in the post-war. The big change arrived only in the 1970s, when the law about the divorce that allowed Italian women and men to divorce was issued, when the reform of family law arrived, when we had a new law for female work, regulating female work. So all this changed related to civil and social rights arrived only in the 70s. So if you cover a long period of time and you look at it through a gendered lens, then women's history allows you to introduce new periodization, in this case, in the history of the Italian Republic. But I think that, you know, if you cover a longer period of times and you adopt a gendered lens, you can discuss traditional chronology and see if they are still good for women.
That's great. That's what we are interested to discuss here, new methodologies, and you explained very well the function of the long period approach. Thanks. In reply to my previous question, you said that when you include a new actor in a narrative, then the narrative must be reconsidered. Now, this leads me to a question which may be a bit naughty. If we emphasize that writing women's history is important because it allows the rewriting of a narrative, so it allows the rewriting of national history, as you do state in your introduction, some may interpret this as an attempt perhaps to find validation within an establishment that struggles to accept women's history. So what is the situation today of women's historiography in Italy and outside Italy?
Really nice question, actually. I'll try to be short, but what I want to say is that the situation at the moment, in my opinion, is very ambiguous and contradictory. Because on one side, what we have is a lot of ongoing research, many publications. We do have a large interest from the students. Students are asking us books. They want just to address the topic in our classes. I mean, they are really interested in women's history and all, you know, also the new field, the history of homosexuality or history of sexuality, for example. And also, what I noticed that there has always been, but I think that now is stronger, is more intense, the dialogue between women historians of different countries, the transnationalities of women's history has increased, I think. And it is a very important point, I believe. We can benefit a lot from it. But also on the other side, and this is, you know, the negative side, is that we can see that still women's history tends to be marginal in the academic life. In the last 20 years, the number of classes devoted specifically to women's history has been reducing. Hmm. And still, it's true that most of our colleagues, I mean, even those who are not particularly interested in women's history, they have learned now to write in their books women and men instead of only men. But you have the feeling that is something that is superficial, that did not really affect their approach to the past. So in synthesis, we have done a lot. We have done it well, I believe. but still, there is a lot that needs to be done.
Oh, that's a very, very honest answer. Fantastic. Okay. And you were talking about transnationalism, and certainly this your volume fits very well in the contemporary historiography move towards global history. So in each chapter, there are lots of interconnections or references, interconnections with between Italian women's history and national groups and events. For me, the most fascinating aspect of your approach to global history is the way that you link together the international dimension, the national dimension, and the domestic dimension. Various chapters, no, various authors do that in different ways. But just for example, just to mention Alessandra Gissi, she's got a chapter on migration. And then it's fascinating. She starts talking about the opening of the Suez Canal. She shows us the migration of wet nurses from Marche, from the Veneto region, from Friuli, how they move to Cairo and Alexandria. The reader has got an idea of the international dimension, but also very much of the national and the domestic. So I found that totally fascinating. Was this framework one of your main aims when you thought of this project? Can we see then in this global, national, domestic link a potential for women's history?
Thanks a lot. You touched a very important point. The group of authors and I, and the publisher also, have been discussing a lot about what the focus on Italy, on national history, meant to us. Because we didn't want, of course, follow what Jeremy Adelman called the return to patriotic history. So we didn't want to write a history of Italian women in a narrow way, looking just at the borders of Italy as rigid boundaries that cannot allow us to see beyond them. And we were fully aware that after the immersion in global history, we cannot do national history as we did in the past. So our shared aim was exactly to look at the history of women in Italy with new eyes. That means through the new approaches that the gendered global history has contributed to shape. So now everything changed. And if you want to put in your box of tools the new approaches of global history, you do not need necessarily to write a global history of women. You can do national history of women through global approaches to history. So, for example, we devoted specific attention to the transnational networks that Italian activists belong to, and we highlighted the convergences in the policy of Italian women and the policies of women in other countries, but also the divergences, how women reshaped aim and policies and ideologies that, you know, were in the international environment, how they reshaped them into the national context. And that was really stimulating somehow, sure, to reread national history. And I fully agree with you. It was important to link not only national and transnational, let's say, but to link transnational, national, local, and domestic. Because you can see how the changes can take place at different levels and they are connected to each other.
Thank you. Your volume covers many topics. We got chapters on labor, violence, world war, and I think these are topics that may be expected. They are hot topics in current historiographical debates. Then there are other chapters on less expected topics, like, for example, Anna Scattigno's chapter on faith and feminism. This is a very rich chapter on a topic that is not very often analyzed in women's history. Can you tell us how you chose the topics?
The selection of topics that I thought was going to be very difficult, at the end, it turned out to be easier than what I had thought at the beginning.
That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. It came out somehow naturally. I prepared the first draft. Then I discussed it both with the publisher and with the first authors I got in touch with. And some of the topics have been under investigation from, let's say, the very first phases of women's history in Italy. For example, the labor, but also citizenship, the world wars. So those were, you know, in the volume by right. I mean, they are the pillars of women's history in Italy. Other topics are more recent, but they have been already investigated quite extensively. So, for example, violence and sexuality. In other cases, our aim was to look at, let's say, traditional topic through a new lens. So you mentioned, for example, Anna Scatigno's contribution, the one on women, religion, feminism. So the relationship between women and fate was investigated already in the early 1990s, so at the beginning of the development of women's history in Italy. But at that time, the topic was investigated with a strong focus on the early modern time. So Scatigno built on the existing literature, but went beyond the state of the art, let's say, because she expanded to the 20th century and looked specifically at the connection between fate and feminism. So again, it was a theme that was already in the history of women in Italy, but was revisited through a new approach, a new point of view, a different angle. So the collection of topics came out like this.
Okay. After this brief discussion, some people may start thinking that this volume is only for specialists. But no, it is not. The writing and the structure that you give to the book through your beautiful introductions are very clear and make it very accessible. Also, it is a collection of 11 essays, but when you read it, you perceive it as a homogeneous volume. So I wonder whether you can talk a bit about the process of putting together a book which is cutting edge, but also accessible and homogeneous. What's your secret?
It was a complex process, a little bit stressing sometimes, but I think that we enjoyed it also because we have been working together from the very beginning. We discussed the project together. We had the meeting all together. I remember it was the last meeting in person before the pandemic. The lockdown started something like a few days after this meeting we had in Rome all together, discussing the plan of action, what we wanted to do and the structure of the book. But not only we have planned the book together, we have developed the plan into the real book altogether. So circulating the papers, discussing ideas and problems, potential overlapping between the different chapters. And I have tried always to be somehow the director, no? Putting people in touch and looking at the process, how it was developing. And it was an intensive dialogue between us, and I think that it's great that you said that this, you really, you, when you read the book, you can feel it, that it was a real collective Definitely. Work. But I want to say also something else, if you don't mind. As women historians, at least here in Italy, we have always worked together. And the Società Italiana delle Storiche, Italian Society of Women Historians, has played, I believe, a key role in stimulating the exchange of ideas, in organizing public events on women's history, in favoring, actually, the communication within the group of scholars working on women's history. So it came natural somehow to us to work as a small community of people with the same interests and same aims. And I think that we really benefited from this habit to work together that belongs two Italian women historians. We have been always working in a network that has stimulated us to communicate, to exchange ideas.
The result is very evident and is absolutely absolutely clear when one reads the book. But just to finish off, I'll tell you one criticism
on
the title. Because it seems to me that it does not say all the novelty that we've been discussing, the new approach on the longer period, the global history. I think we can improve the title if we, especially if we go for a translation in English. That I think we should do.
That would be great. You know what? The title was discussed quite a lot, quite intensively, with the publisher. I think that at the very end, they suggested the title that the book has got now. But I think that the aim was to find something that was clear and simple, exactly because we wanted, and then it was also the aim of the publisher, but also our own aim, to address a wide audience. So not only people who are familiar with women's history, but also people who are not, but maybe they are interested in the topic also because, you know, they read in the newspaper articles on violence against women or the asymmetries between women and men in the labor market and so on and so forth. And they want to put that specific issue in the context, in a long period context. So keeping the title simple was probably for having something that could help to reach the wide audience. But undoubtedly, if we manage to publish the book in English, we can revise the title and find something more appealing.
But what you said is actually true. Not only historians, but people who have other interests may just pick it up and read it and learn really a lot from it. So that leads me to say thank you for putting together this book, which is really a great addition to women's history in Italy, but not only, because the methodology that you explained actually says a lot about the international perspective of women's history.
Well, thank you so much for not only for having me, but also for your very insightful questions and this stimulating conversation. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks to you. And bye for now then.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.